Today's show is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/blackgirlslaughing. Over 180,000 titles to choose from on your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Hello and welcome to another episode of Black Girls Laughing.
Woo! What up, guys?
We're back. It's Brittany and B, and we are here to give you some laughter and joy again for another hour or so.
Yes, the world has been crazy. It's been madness every second, every moment. You're reading the news, something else is breaking your heart, but we decided to focus on the positive things that people are doing in response to this crazy world we live in.
And there's a lot of great things to celebrate. We are Black Girls Laughing, and we're going to keep it light. We want to keep it bright and fun and show you guys that even in these moments of tragedy, there is still some beauty in this world. And there's a lot of it, and I wanted to just share it with you all. Sorry for last week. We didn't have an episode because of the tragedy of the 1-2-3 punch of tragedy that we got at the end of last week. We were hurting. We need to take some moments of self-care. And I feel better.
Yeah.
You feel good?
I logged off. I sat at the beach. I took some naps in the sun. And I did not check social media for an entire day. And it was great.
And I know, and like, we want to be here for you. We want to talk to you. We want to keep that dialogue going. And I just want to say that we are thinking of everyone in Baton Rouge right now, everyone in Minnesota, everyone all over that is sitting out and protesting against police brutality and shouting that Black Lives Matter. It's so important. And just the tragedy of seeing Black bodies slain and not being able to hide from it. And then having, and you, as I'm talking directly to my Black and brown people that listen to the show, like, take care of yourself and thank you for still going outside.
Yeah.
For still living. Because it's been tough.
Yes. I hope that you all have gone and updated your Facebook settings so you never have to see crap like that on autoplay. Number one, a very big step in self-care, and you matter so much to us. Even if we don't know who you are or where you're coming from, you matter so much. So much to us. So we love you.
Yeah. And I mean, we love everyone that has been showing their support for the people that are in pain. For everyone that has been going out and talking about Black Lives Matter. I mean, there was this this video of this church doing a vigil, and it was a predominantly white church, and they were out there with signs that said Black Lives Matter, and they were having a silent vigil. And they just panned the entire group of the people. And I was literally moved to tears because I'm happy with some of the white movement that we are seeing in response to what has been going on. It's been 3 years. It's been 3 years of this. And we need your voices. We need more than just allyship. We need you to be out there making noise, forcing change. And the one, my beautiful woke white friends, I love you guys, but keep on listening too. Keep on learning. We all need to keep on educating ourselves, but we keep on listening, keep on learning. To my drowsy white friends, wake up, it's time to wake up.
And reminder to you, drowsy white friends, and reminder to all of us, these are only the ones that people are actually catching on camera.
Mm-hmm.
So smooth reminder that we had to see this tragedy in our faces, and it's a wake up, 1-2 punch, wake up to everyone. But there's a lot that goes on without a camera present. So don't forget that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is that one of the most powerful things I saw was that this isn't new, just the cameras are.
Yeah.
This has been going on since slavery, since the emancipation, since the civil rights era 1, 2, and 3. This has been going on. And now we are in a new awakening of it because of cameras. Stay alert. Turn on your cameras. Make sure that people that we're catching this stuff, because that's the only way that's the reason why we're able to move forward. This is why people were able to actually listen and care this time. People that didn't have to. White people who didn't have to care.
Now it's in your face.
People that with other privileges. Because like I've been seeing our celebrities finally saying something, finally ready to make a move. And it's in... You can't be cloaked in any of your privileges anymore.
No, you can't. You literally, there's nothing you can hide behind anymore. There's nothing. Nothing. It's in your face, whether you want it to be or not. It's there. So, yeah. On to the positive.
Yeah. On to the Johns.
Yes. So, do you want to start? You want me to start?
I can start.
Okay.
So, speaking of black celebrities, rapper The Game. Yes, The Game.
The Game.
You know that man that's been taking some really good selfies on Woo. Instagram and
yes. Yes.
And has been giving us all kinds of good feelings. He created a secret meeting of 100 black celebrities, policymakers, and activists to talk about everything that's been going on in the news, to talk about the racial strife that is splitting America right now, and talking about plans of how they can respond and do some work to help solve these problems, to use their platforms. That happened, and I'm so proud that this meeting of this mastermind, this meeting of this excellence came together and to talk about what's really going on. Because again, with celebrity comes privilege, and it becomes very easy for you to not think about what about the true issues, because you have that cloak of celebrity holding over you. I just want to name some of the people that were out there. Niecy Nash, Tisha Campbell.
Freaking love Tisha Campbell.
T.I., Megan Good, Cedric the Entertainer, Tasha Smith, Terrence J., our bae, Jesse Williams.
Ooh, bae.
Nate Parker, my other bae.
Ooh, bae.
Boris Cujo, former bae.
So many bays.
Like Tina Lawson. Like, thank you. Coming together.
Use it. I mean, I hope this was also a chance for them to be reminded. And we've seen it so many times that just because you're a celebrity or a famous athlete or who's and what's it, you can still get tackled by the police mm-hmm. going into an airport because they think you're someone else because you're black.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that we see something great come out of this meeting of the minds. As we have said in conversations, we don't expect anything from celebrities, and I don't think any of you should. So it's awesome that though we had no expectations, they took it upon themselves to be like, we have to, like we said, there's nothing to hide behind from. We have to talk about this.
Mm-hmm. There's gotta be something. I'm excited to see what happens next with that. You know who I didn't talk about? Beyonce.
Yeah, we posted about it, so maybe that's why you didn't talk about it. How she changed her website to, it was a call to action, really. It was great. And again, I personally don't think you should expect celebrities to say anything, but the woman who quite literally runs the world said something after having given millions of dollars to the movement in the beginning is now also saying something about it. And if you could physically love her anymore, I don't know if that's possible, but I do. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah, keep them braids, girl. Show your blackness all day. I love it. Oh, I mean, with all of her music, too. And Lemonade got nominated for an Emmy.
Yes, I know. It's beautiful.
She bought the EGOT. She's working on that EGOT. Get that E, girl.
So another really positive thing that came out of this madness is two of my favorite women are working together. So we talked about Leslie Mack, her podcast Interracial John, you know her from Ferguson Response Network, is working with someone you may not know is now living in Philadelphia, Feminista Jones.
What?
Yeah, who's like, ugh, my heart. And they're organizing a national movement. It's an MLK sit-in. You can look up hashtag MLK sit-in, and there's an organizer Google Doc that you can sign up with and be a part of the movement. They'll give you updates, but I'm excited to see what they do with this. Both of them are so smart. I love learning from them every day. Just in like 140 characters, I just get like a reminder of my privilege or what I need to check, or yeah, and I just enlightened every time either of them post something. So I'm really excited that they're collaborating on this and filling out that organizer form, because I can't wait to be a part of it. And ugh, my heart just gushed when I saw that. I was like, oh my God, I love both of you. Okay,
yeah, I need to get on that form.
So we'll be a part. We will, Black Girls Laughing will be a part of whatever that is.
Yes, yes, yes.
And also reminding you that if, I know that some of you struggle with taking action, whether it's being in the streets might scare you, or you don't know what to do, or you don't know what to say, or you don't have anyone to go with and you need a hand to hold. Resources. You can give resources to the people that are out there walking and marching and yelling for you and us and all of us. Take a moment and go to Black Lives Matter and give $10. You can sign up and give $10 monthly to the organization. Things like the Advancement Project and the Southern Poverty Law Center that give money to us, our people, the ones out there doing the work, the ones suffering the most, the ones that white supremacy wants you to forget about. Mm-hmm. So if you can't give your feet or your voice, give your resources. And that's, if that's your gateway to finding your voice in all of this or finding the strength to stand on your feet in the streets, awesome. And I can't wait to see more of you out there doing it. I signed up and I now give $10 a month. I'm not made of money, but I was like, that's something I can do mm-hmm. every month for the rest of forever. Yeah, so
that's two less coffees out of like, right? Two less coffees at your coffee shop. That's two less beers at your local pub. That's not going to fast food one day. Not going to lunch once a month.
Yeah. So I figured that was the bare minimum I could do on top of, you know, me always giving my voice and my feet to some march or walk around mm-hmm. here. So if you guys want to check that out, there's tons of links. We'll post about it too, so you guys can just click in 2 seconds, link up your PayPal if that's what you want to do.
There you go.
Keep it secure with your PayPal account. There you go.
All right. One of our other faves, Miss Issa Rae. Immediately after the tragedy of Alton Sterling, was all over our news feeds. She immediately created a GoFundMe account for the children of Alton Sterling, for them to be able to still go to college, for them to be able to have a better life. And in In only 24 hours, she raised $325,000 for the family.
Insane.
And right now, it's currently at $715,000.
Jesus. Like, talk about using your platform.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know tons of... Like, she's in the limelight right now. People are waiting for her HBO show. People that have already been following her forever and years. And she's like, I'm literally at the peak, like at the beginning peaks of my stardom. Let me use my platform. Amazing. Amazing. So amazing.
I just love that she just did it so quickly without it. It was like it was without even thinking twice. It was just the immediate thing for her to do. It was like,
of course I should do this.
Yes.
Of course we all should.
Yes. So thank you, Issa Rae. So that's another is another way that you can support that lot that is still going live as well. Again, we'll have those links.
Yeah.
At the very least, just watch it, share it, see what's happening with that. Because it will probably be spread to other things as it grows. Also, Harry Belafonte. Ah, yes. Someone that has been for the cause for forever. Has announced a racial and social justice music festival.
Listen. Lit! It's about to be lit.
It is. It is really about to be lit, lit, lit. And I cannot wait to attend because I'm going to be there. It's going to be in October. They already have performances from Chris Rock, Jesse Williams, and musicians like John Legend and Common. We've also got Estelle, Carlos Santana, Dave Matthews, Public Enemy, Danny Glover, Dr. Cornel West is going to speak.
Michelle Alexander.
Like, it is about to go down.
Danny Glover?
Yep.
Like, Danny Glover, that man.
So October 1st through 2nd in Atlanta.
We were trying to figure out where it was.
In the Atlanta suburbs of Chattahoochee Hills, Georgia.
We'll get there.
Yeah, I'm gonna figure out a
Frontier
way.
Airlines got cheap tickets to Atlanta.
Let's get it. Let's get it. We'll be there.
See y'all there.
Let's book our flights now.
Yeah. I'm not kidding.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay.
We're done.
After the show, we're going to book our tickets.
Get ready to see us there. We'll be real cute.
In light of just like also black people just doing awesome things, the Emmys.
Yes.
So much brownness just all up in the Emmys. Just all yo Emmys.
And I watched... because Anthony Anderson was one of the announcers of the nominations, and he was just standing for all his black people.
He was like, "You get an Emmy, and you get an Emmy, and you get an Emmy." He's like "I get an Emmy."
Lorelai Gilmore was like a little like confused with how excited he was.
He's like, and Black Edge, and Taraji, and Viola, and Keegan Michael Key, and Beyonce. And Idris, y'all get Emmys.
Tracy Ellis Ross, yes,
my girl, me, I'm getting an Emmy.
Oh my gosh, but it's so great.
I love it.
We are fully represented. I am so excited for the Emmys.
And beyond just us being represented, Aziz Ansari is the first brown man to be nominated as a leading male.
Yeah, I love Master of None. It's a beautiful show.
At first it had its problems to me, but then I was like, you know, he wrote this from his point of view, mm-hmm. so obviously he's going to talk about the things that affect him every single day. Which reminded me that I actually loved it a lot. So I do love
beautiful.
It. I loved it. So we'll be watching the Emmys. We'll be live tweeting about the Emmys.
Oh, you know.
We should have a party. We should have an Emmy watching party.
Yeah, because you know what? That is where black people are truly represented, is on television right now. Like, the TV just stays so brown. And yes. I love it. Yes. And this is where we can see ourselves represented in the full.
Also, any excuse to see Idris Elba at any point in time is all I need.
In a tuxedo? There was just a new, he's on something like Interview Magazine. He has like this photo shoot, and like BuzzFeed shared the photos. Yes. And we're just like, just to make you feel good, here's daddy looking just fine. Like, just too fine. He's got a little bit of gray going on right now too. I'm just like, yes.
I don't even want to see like the interview. I was like, I felt so bad. I was like, wait. This is what women feel like every day, but I don't like care what you said. I just want to look at you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Idris all day. I'm on like a lot of black women in makeup Facebook groups, and they are the thirstiest ladies ever, and I love it. And so they constantly put up like these different pictures, like who's your teacher, who like they pick someone as like all these different black celebrities, and like, your history teacher is this guy. Your French teacher is this guy, this guy, this guy. And like, Idris was the principal. And they're like, whose class do you go to? Or do you want to go to the principal's office? And I was like, principal office all
I'm getting
day.
In trouble. give me in school suspension, please.
Or I'm going to have to be like the best student ever. So I'm just having to meet with you because I'm just amazing.
Anyway, maybe we should rein ourselves in.
Oh, yeah, okay.
We should talk about it.
Try to have fun. Last thing, I don't know. Would you have anything else?
That was it.
Okay, I got one more thing. ESPYs happened.
Yes. Oh,
yes.
Yes.
The ESPYs opened. So the ESPYs were on Wednesday, July 14th. And Carmelo Anthony, Chris Paul, Dwayne Wade, and LeBron James opened the event.
Yes.
With remarks and complete support for Black Lives Matter and for in response to everything that's going on. And they challenged athletes to go out there and be a part of this movement. For not just being a great, I can't think of the word. Not just being a role model, but like leading by action.
Yes.
And Chris Paul even talked about being the nephew of a police officer and still wanting to be a part of the police making a change.
You just triggered a thought for me also that's separate of the ESPYs, so I will let you finish.
And just really pushing for movement. And they said the names of the victims, the recent victims.
Yes.
The only critique that I have of it is that I wish that they said Sandra Bland's name.
Yep. And listen, that could be a whole show. We might have to make a whole show.
We have to make a whole show. We have to talk about the women.
The erasure of black women and black queer people in this movement. That's start button.
Yes.
Started this freaking movement.
That
Jesus
are the
Christ.
Front lines. I mean, these women, that woman, that picture that has gone viral of that woman in Baton Rouge just in a sundress being carried away by the police. The women that are giving up their bodies.
Listen, like, I don't get it, because trans women started the movement for gay rights, for Stonewall.
Mm-hmm.
Queer women and black women started Black Lives Matter. I don't understand how we're out here, black women and black queer people, and just are starting everything and somehow still get erased every freaking time. I don't understand how this is still happening. I don't get it. Everything you love comes from black women, black queer people.
I mean, black women are the root of, like, life in general.
They hold the world. I just don't get it. I don't get it. I don't understand. But, again, we're going to have to make another episode about that.
But they still did an amazing job. Like, thank you. I mean, LeBron James and his teams have been great. Back when he was on the Miami Heat, they wore Black Lives Matter shirts during the NBA Finals. He's always been pretty vocal, but to see them together confronting an audience full of white people
with their favorite black athletes.
Yes, and I mean, and I'm sorry, and these are people, and I feel that like the sports world is always telling black people to shut up.
Always.
Because that's just the nature of sports that are ran and controlled by white supremacy, by white people that are the owners of these teams. They try to squash the voices of black people. That's why we loved the Carolina Panthers, because they were so lit in their blackness, and they did not give a damn. No, zero F's about any type of respectability persona, that they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
No, because you know what? If you're going to be using my black body, you're going to use all of my black body.
Yep.
Every aspect of me.
Love it.
So big ups to that, because that's huge that the sports community is ready to do this.
Here for it.
Yes.
You also, the thought you triggered was, could start a larger conversation, but Queen Latifah was actually interviewed for Good Morning America, and she's the daughter's sister niece of cops, and she's like, that's cool and great, and like, their lives matter, but like, here's the bigger issue, and everyone in my family that also wears blue understands that this is the bigger issue, so like, why are you coming at me sideways with this question? Like, obviously my answer is going to be Black Lives Matter. She's like, the shit I experienced. She's like, are you, essentially, her answer was very nicely worded, but essentially it was like, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. Like, come on. And to me, it was like, how tone deaf can you be? Queen Latifah is a black female rapper. Like, you know how much shit she had to deal with?
Like, really?
Like in a sector of music that's so filled with misogyny, on top of being a black woman in America, on top of, it's like, duh.
Yeah.
To me, her answer was like, you're saying this a lot nicer than you have to. And that's why she's Queen Latifah, because she
stay regal.
I would have been, I don't know, trash Latifah.
The wig would have been a little askew.
And the honors. She just got honored. Lil' Kim, Salt mm-hmm. and Peppa, Queen Latifah. I'm forgetting someone, but we should talk about that in our next episode.
Oh, yes. The hip-hop honors, VH1 hip-hop honors, honoring black women in yes. hip-hop.
Which,
as it should.
Also, segue to Feminista Jones, wrote an awesome article about being, you know, a black woman in hip-hop, and y'all should read it.
Ooh.
So we can post up a link about that too. It was awesome.
All right, so we got lots of links sharing with y'all this week. Catch us up on all of our social medias, because they will be everywhere.
All right, we had a long john, but that's it.
That was a long, long john for y'all. Hey guys, for you, the listeners of Black Girls Laughing, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Personally, I love to listen to entrepreneurial books. I'm a big business nerd, as you already know. And right now, I'm listening to Will It Fly by Pat Flynn. You might know him from The Smart Passive Income. He has this amazing book that teaches you how to start your own business, from the idea to testing out the concept to launching it. Check it out. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/blackgirlslaughing. Again, that's audibletrial.com/blackgirlslaughing for your free audiobook.
All right, we're back, and we're back with a segment of Check It. It's been a little while since we've done a Check It, but I feel like in light of everything that's happened, it's really important to check back in with yourself, check back in with the people around you. So this check-it is going to be different. Usually when I do check-its, it's check yourself, check your mental health, what you're doing, what you bring to the table. And obviously the people you surround yourself with can influence a lot of things. I mean, we want to deny that. We want to have that not happen, but it does, whether it's positive or whether it's negative. So my check-it this week is umbrellaed under the idea of the word ally. We hear it a lot in the LGBTQ community of being an ally for those that identify as a part of that community, how you support them and the rights and blah, blah, blah. And now we hear that word associated with Black Lives Matter. And I feel like the conversation is continuously, well, like, I support you and blah, blah, blah. Like,
and it's specifically for the people that have the privilege that are not a part of those groups and possess that privilege. So for cisgendered people and that are trying to be an ally for the trans community.
Yes.
For straight people trying to be an ally to the gay community, to white people trying to be an ally to the Black Lives Matter movement or to Black people.
Yes. And I saw... We talk about Leslie Mack and a lot because we just love her. But
she's smart as hell.
She said something really great. Was it today or yesterday that popped up on my news feed? And it said, ally is a verb.
Mm-hmm.
So ally is not what you say. It's what you do, what you're doing, how you're doing it. Are you helping those people? Are you check what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But really this check-it is for people on the receiving end of someone else's allyship, to be wary, to watch out, to hold people accountable when they say that they want to be an ally, but also remember that it is not your job to keep people comfortable or to teach anyone anything. I've gotten recently a huge onslaught of messages on dating applications, where I blatantly say, like, this is what I stand for and this is what I don't. I'm a part of Black Lives Matters movement. It's a part of me. I very vocally say that my feminism is intersectional, so it's against transphobia, xenophobia, racism, classism, ableism, all of it. And if you're not down with that, then you're not down with me. And a lot of people have been like messaging me saying things like, oh, your profile is so interesting and you seem so smart and like you could teach me a lot about how to be a good ally for the Black Lives Matters movement and teach me a lot about how to address my privilege and things like that. And it's exhausting, mm-hmm. even reading those messages. And I'm telling you, I've had over 10 messages within the last week and a half, 2 weeks of people saying things like that. And my response is, it is not my freaking job. It is not my job to teach you anything.
How dare they ask a stranger?
On a dating app. I am there to find someone to hang out with, find someone to eat ice cream with, and ride a bike with, and hold hands with, just like the rest of you. So how dare you message me on Tinder, on OkCupid, on Bumble. I'm not even using all of those, but I'm just naming them off on any dating application and assume that I'm going to take time out of my day to teach you how to be comfortable or how to address your own freaking privilege. It's so exhausting. It's so overwhelming. And you get an automatic block from me when you do that. Google is free.
Yes.
We've said it 1,000 times. 1,000 other people have said it 1,000 times. I don't know how many times we have to say that. There are so many people out there doing the work. On Twitter, you can literally read the things that they're saying for free. You can... anywhere.
Tumblr.
Facebook. Like,
watch you don't a even video.
Anything. You don't you even don't have to Google read. It.
You can listen to it.
You can click a hashtag in a post that someone else made, and it can lead you to a path of books and articles and videos and in the enlightenment that you're seeking. But I am not your guiding light or shining star on how to do any of this. It's exhausting. There are some friends, when they ask me questions, sure, I'll answer them. But again, it's not my job. It is not my job, and it's not anyone else's job. And how dare you? How dare you continuously expect Black people to teach you everything while they're trying to do everything else?
Yeah, well, they're trying to heal.
So... watch out for that. And maybe take a moment. Do you find yourself having to say the same thing over and over again to people, copy and pasting your brilliant messages to things? You don't have to teach everyone everything. That's not your job. And if that is your job, I hope you better be getting paid for it. Your brilliance better be getting you money.
And if you're, and like some people are doing it, I've seen lots of people on my Facebook that are actively trying to create those dialogues. Seek out the people that are actively trying to do that. Do not just come up on someone and say, you're brown, you're Black, now teach me.
Yeah. When I will post on Facebook when I want to have, when I see fit a dialogue. And mm-hmm. if people have a conversation or ask me questions, sure. I clearly invited you into that conversation.
Yeah, but you can ask for help, but don't call out people to come help you.
No.
Like, don't tag me in your Facebook post and say, please teach me now.
No. No. And on a dating application of all things was like mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. So
it was a stranger.
Strangers that I don't like, even from reading their profiles, is like, I would never even go on a date with you to like take time to get to know you, to try and teach you these things. So, like, how dare you?
Well, at least they've exposed themselves as people that you don't need to know.
Yeah, so that was the first part of our check-in. Bree has some words about checking friends, which is really freaking hard to do.
It's so hard, and I'm still struggling with it. I'm still I'm in the weeds of it. I have to talk to a friend of mine soon. So you want to do something and you're deciding to make some action, and you're taking these words
as an ally
and you're saying, hey, I'm going to try to take some action. There is definitely a right way and a wrong way. You cannot come and co-opt, take this movement for yourself. You can't come off the heels of tragedy and say that you're going to do this grand gesture and not engage people of color, Black people, to bring diverse voices to this action that you want to take. You have to be ready to take the hard step of doing the outreach work. Maybe in your immediate circle, you do not have a lot of Black people in your circle, but you want to do that. You want to make a big statement. You can find them. You can connect with the people that you do know to hook that, to find other people. And then if you're going to make this grand statement, or you're going to put on an event, you have to not be vague in the intention of your work while also trying to capitalize on the deaths of Black bodies. You cannot be vague. You have to let people know what you stand for. It can't just be about violence in general. It has to be about what is really going on, because these are affecting, these atrocities are affecting certain groups of people. You have to be clear on, if you're going to have a benefit, who's the money going to? Before you ask anyone to be a part of your movement, you have to be very clear, because you don't want to mislead folks. People might think, because of the timing of how you put out your message, that it is connected to this event, to this current tragedy. For then you to then go and backtrack and say that it's about something else is misleading. And then you're going to end up alienating more people than you end up serving.
Listen, I'm just going to be real freaking blunt. If you are doing anything in regards to Black Lives Matter or supporting or benefiting any Black people that have suffered police brutality, if you're having a benefit to help bail people out of jail for being a part of the movement, if you're donating to families that have suffered from this, and you don't have one Black person a part of whatever you're doing, you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even going to like tiptoe or put some icing on it. You are wrong. You, as ally, I hate that word more and more every time. Whatever you are,
your partner. Are you gonna be a partner? Are you gonna team up?
It's your time to be quiet. It's your time to use that privilege to elevate mm-hmm. the voices of the people that suffer through this or experience this or know this or even friggin' just match the demographic of the people that you're giving money to or trying to support. I don't understand. I don't, like, what goes into your brain to think that that's okay? Like, and, I wouldn't even do, like, I don't. It doesn't make any. It don't make no damn sense.
Yeah, and I'm not, I don't want to be very specific on this. I'm not against the groups of white people that have identified themselves as white people working together to fight injustice.
No, good. That's what you're those, there. You should
be. I have seen so many of these events and I've loved seeing them. And I want you guys to be able to work together, because that's actually where the good work is going to come, is when you guys talk to each other and work through the issues, work through your privilege, work through your understanding of racism, teaching each other what you've learned. That is what is going to be so effective. I am not talking to y'all. You guys are doing it right.
But there's so many of you still doing it wrong.
And again, it's that research. It's taking the time to understand what you were trying to jump in on. It is not, it's bigger than just looking at a couple of articles and seeing some terrible videos. It's bigger than that. If you haven't gone out and had some conversations, read a freaking book, studied. I know, even in my own Blackness, I feel uncomfortable talking about this stuff sometimes, because I don't feel that I'm completely educated on it. I've been asked at my job to be the person of color to talk about all of this, to bring all of this work. And it's exhausting to me, because I know that I need to go and read more. I need to educate myself more in it all the time, because again, I can only know what I've lived. And that is not every Black person's experience. So I have to go and educate myself on what my brothers and sisters that don't have the privileges that I are going through. So if you're not ready to do that work,
Shut up.
It's okay. It's okay. But you have to give it its due diligence. Because you end up playing yourself and playing the movement that you're trying to support. And I'm putting quotes around it. My fingers are moving. You can't see me right now, but like,
if it's really offensive for you to do anything half-assed mm-hmm. or not even half, just zero effort required. We got people out here getting arrested, getting shot, getting tased, screaming, giving up their whole lives, quitting their jobs to make sure that their voices are heard. Even just to make sure that the voices of the people that are out there doing all this all the time are elevated and they're using their platforms for it. And you have the audacity to less than half-ass something. Think about what you're doing. Just think about it. And like the articles have said, I've seen some brilliant articles, some brilliant posts, and a reminder to you, if you have quote-unquote black friends and you haven't been checking up on them lately to see how they're doing, to see how they're feeling, what they're going through, to talk to them, to be a shoulder for them to cry on, you don't have any goddamn black friends. You're not a friend. Think about that. Think about everything before you do anything. Because you could be capitalizing on people's pain right now, and that's disgusting. Check your friends, y'all. Check
yourself.
That's all I got for check it.
Woo! Woo! All right. Let's get back to the happy. Throwback jam. I have one.
I didn't know that. I'm excited.
I have a throwback jam. And it's something that I've been listening to all week.
What?
Because it has been, I don't know, it's like the original protest song.
Is it Michael Jackson?
No, it's not Michael Jackson.
I was waiting for you to say it's Michael Jackson.
I was about that because that week, because like the Throwback Jam Facebook group, like Facebook page made, they don't really care about us as the as their jam, like the day of Philando Castile. Like, no, I'm going back, I'm going way back. I'm going Marvin Gaye. I'm going What's Going On. Woo! I'm going the full album.
Woo!
I need you to get on whatever you stream music on. You need to get on Tidal. You need to get on your Apple Music. You need to get on your Spotify. You need to sit down. You need to listen to this album.
Damn, that's on a good
repeat.
Album.
It is what's so scary and beautiful about it is that it's speaking about all of the shit that we're going through right now. I mean, there's images in it that I'm just like, this is it. He's talking directly about police brutality, like right there.
I just got clammy. I'm like a little goosebumpy.
And I went and I looked up like just some of the history of this album, like where it came from. I want you to, like, I want to suggest for you to just go and just look up like how the song What's Going On came to be. Because it started actually with one of the Four Tops. They were in Berkeley, and during that the protests against the Vietnam War and how the police responded to these protests, he saw this and he was like, "What the hell is going on?" And he talked to some songwriters, and they worked on this from Motown, and they were like, "Let's work on this. Let's work on this." And they made this song, and he brought it to the Four Tops, and the Four Tops was like, "Nah, that's a protest song." He's like, "No, I don't see this as a protest song. I see this as a love song to the people of what can we do to make this better? A love song of how can we take a moment and reflect and really understand what is really happening today?" But they said no. So they brought it to Marvin Gaye, who was already going through a deep depression because of the loss of his partner, his brother that was also in Vietnam, that he was reading these letters back and forth between him, and gave it to him and said, "Hey, let's do this." And he was like, "All right." And he took that song, and one of the quotes was that he took this suit and he tailored the hell out of it. But they had it all built up, but he was like, "You know what? I'm about to make it as fly as hell." And he brought in these elements of the neighborhood. That's why there's like the mute, like that's why there's like the people hooting and just making all these different noises to represent the true people that are going through the struggle. He wanted to represent the community in a true way. You know, Berry Gordy wasn't down. He thought it was terrible. He thought it was too old school, that it was just too much. But it ended up being one of the most like critically and popular albums of Marvin Gaye's career. Because it was speaking of a time. And it was a full concept. Just take a moment and just sit down and listen to how the songs bleed into each other. It is a tale. It is a story of these people that were going through these struggles then, and we're still going through them now. It is direct correlation to the brothers and sisters that are assembling peacefully in Louisiana right now, but are still being yoked up by the police on private property. What the hell is going on? That's the Soul Black Jam. That whole album. Go get your life. Get your understanding. Take a moment and be absorbed by it. Have it wash over you. Put it on repeat.
I'll put it on our Spotify list. You can find it real simple. It'll be right there at your fingertips. All right.
Signature segment time.
Yeah.
Woo, woo. Let's giggle. Let's cackle. Let's roar up in
so,
here.
What? We heard some of y'all think this segment is corny.
Hate is gonna hate.
But you know what? We tried to keep it light and funny today, and we still got serious.
Oh, yeah,
so,
we did.
Like, you need those moments to giggle, cackle, and roar, because how are you going to survive? What are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
You have to. So, haters going to hate.
I love being corny.
Haters going to hate. You might think this is cheesy, but this is our moment to remind ourselves that we are Black girls who love laughing, who want you laughing with us. So we giggle and we cackle and we roar.
Wow.
So the giggle for this week, which I did not realize was a common denominator between us. Well, my giggle. Yeah. My giggle.
What is your giggle? What is your giggle?
Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Oh my gosh, my favorite show.
I had a friend text me and be like, have you watched Crazy Ex-Girlfriend on Netflix? And I was like, no. Like, what? Why would I watch that? And after a long weekend of working, long hours, I came home yesterday and decided, okay, I'll watch this show. Oh my God.
It's a musical show. It's a show that's a freaking musical. It has like at least three songs in it every single episode that are the bomb.
And
everyone
hysterical.
Can sing and dance and they're funny.
They're so, I was like, wait, this show is so, I love it so much. Like,
and it's dealing with mental health, and that's like your portion. Like,
yes. I was like, wait, this girl is like, has a lot of issues. The main character, she has a lot that she is not dealing with whatsoever. She's avoiding everything that's wrong with her, whether it's her codependency, her need to please her mother, her possible manic behavior.
It's possible.
I don't like using that word on just anyone, but it's like the best musical you've ever watched, because it's just like, you know when your brain has those moments where like, this is climactic. I couldn't even say the word because I got so excited. And like, this needs a song. I'm freaking out right now. Like, in your brain, they put a song to it. They have a song for every, when you're getting ready to go out on a date, the sexy getting ready song, when you send the wrong, when you send a text message to the wrong person and somehow you have to find their phone and delete it or just die of embarrassment and it's a text emergency.
Oh my God, text emergency, Textopolis, that's such a good one.
So like, I cackle at that show, but it's my giggle for this week.
It's so good. Rachel Bloom is a genius.
Yes.
She writes most of these songs. Like, she, like, is someone that went to school for musical theater, found improv theater while she was at school because, you know, you go to musical theater school and you find out that you're not going to be able to play the ingenue, that you're not going to get all the roles that you want, that you're not the best that you assume that you were because you were in your high school bubble. And then you go and you get your dreams crushed. And so she tried something different and shined. And then took that and made something beautiful. She just started making these videos on her own. This is how she started. She's like, I'm just going to sit and make some fun videos. Like, my favorite one is the heavy boob song because, girl, the struggle's real when you got those heavy boobs. she was just singing my life to me. I was like, yes, yes, you understand. And then all the other little characters, too. I love the her bisexual boss and, like, him going through all his life.
Stop! I'm not that far ahead yet! Oh!
Spoiler alert! Oh, sorry. It's on Netflix. Get your life. It's so good. It's beautiful.
I love it. It's hysterical. So that's my giggle.
And she won a Golden Globe. Like, breakout Golden Globe winning girl.
So, winner. She's a winner.
Even the opening song is nominated for an Emmy.
It's so good. It's so good.
Okay. I also have a giggle. Because this is the giggle that has been distracting me from all of life. And thank you, Pokemon. Thank you, Pokemon Go. It has been an act of self-care to play this game. It gets you out of the house. It gets you away from social media. It gets you in a playful space. And that's why it's growing so freaking rapidly. I mean, they have more users than Twitter now. Pokemon Go. People are getting hurt because people are stupid, but people are finding dead bodies and there's lots of different things that are happening with it. But it's also bringing people together. I'm a part of a Facebook group that is South Philadelphia Pokemon people. And like, we just talk about where we found cool Pokemon and where it's lit at a certain time. People like run and they meet each other. They do bar crawls. Like, people that would have been in the house not knowing each other have been meeting each other out on the streets. We were out on East Passyunk, which is like a main drag in Philly, and we met so many people just like saying hey, waving, getting to know folks just through this game. It's getting people to say hey, hi, how you doing? It's fun. So if you haven't played it, if you don't know what Pokemon are, that's fine. You don't know Pokemon, that's fine. Like, it's not for you, and that's cool. Don't hate on the people that like it.
Oh,
because that's what I've been hating. It's been the people just being rude about it. Like, just because you don't understand something. It's so, and like, this one person, like, really broke it down in a nice way. It's like, well, I've been having to deal with you talk about sports all the time.
Yes.
And not know anything. And so you can't, just because you're not a part of this movement, you have to act like it's so wrong.
Yep.
No, let people have their fun. Be happy that people are having fun. If you don't get it, you're over 35. That's cool.
Whatever. I don't have it, but I'm just like, hey, people are going outside. People are riding bikes. Like, as long as you aren't crashing a car or running out in the middle of the street or biking right into other people, I don't really care what you do.
Yeah, I mean,
as long as you're being safe.
Follow the rules. I mean, they tell you, right? Like, as soon as you're going into that, they're like, be aware of your surroundings. Don't act like you're not living in the game. Like, it's augmenting your reality. So still be aware of your reality.
Like, and there are people out there that do not follow those rules. Mm-hmm. That's how everything goes.
But and have the nerve to go blame the game. This 15-year-old right. child, I want to slap her.
Who walked out in the middle of the hallway?
And her mama for blaming this game. Like, the game said,
walk out into a four-lane highway to catch a Pokemon.
You should have more sense than that. I'm sorry, you're 15.
Then you shouldn't be allowed to have a phone.
I don't think you should be able to leave your house without parental supervision.
Jesus. I figured that was gonna be one of your giggles or your cackles or your roar.
That's just all. That's like a bunch of things. So what's our cackle? Do we not have a cackle? Do you have anything else?
No.
That you want to talk about?
We used my cackle as a check it, so I think we're out of a cackle.
So no cackle this week. Whatever. We don't have anything to cackle about.
No. I guess we could cackle about Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. I was cackling, so like, it works as both for me.
Yeah, it's all of it. I mean, I like to think of the cackle as a little bit more shady, though. So like,
oh, see, my natural like hysterical laughter is a cackle, so I often think of it as a good thing. It takes a lot for me to cackle. Well, it doesn't take a lot, but it has to be something good.
Oh, so. Okay. Yeah, I always like, there's always like a negative connotation to like, I cackle at that hoe. But like,
I guess coming from like a family of cacklers and being a natural cackler myself, I think it could be either or. Yeah. Sometimes I'm like,
it's definitely in the connotation for real, for real. Okay, so I just want to talk about for a roar / cackle if it's positive. I want to talk about the beauty that is black women in sports right now, and specifically
the queen.
Well, I love me some Serena and Venus Williams. Yes, these queens are amazing, but they've been amazing for a very long time. We get it. We got it. You got 17 of these Grand Slams underneath your belt. You guys are keep 22 of these Grand Slams underneath your belt. Just like doubles tournaments. We know that if you two come up in the scene, that it is over. That just hand them the whatever you get for winning. Cash, send the checks, etch the names in whatever silver, whatever you guys are handing, just do it now. I wanna talk about tennis. Not tennis. We were talking about tennis. I wanna talk about gymnastics.
Woo!
Because I watched the Olympic trials in gymnastics.
Hell yeah.
And Simone Biles is the shit.
Amazing.
She is every freaking thing. This is the most like decorated female athlete in gymnastics ever. She has won 4 national titles in a row. Never been done. This girl just comes up just cool as a freaking cucumber and just vaults on your ass. Just like bing, 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 bing. Like you're like, what the hell? Who the heck? Like not falling off anything. Just perfect performances. I watched a million of her floor routines. Girl gets down, has great music, dances, shakes, then also flips like a billion times on your ass. And you're just like, really? How can you do that? And just like pop up and just like whatever, walks away like, oh, I did my job, and doesn't even get too excited about it. I mean, she cried when she got picked to go to the Olympics, but no one was surprised. Like, I was watching the thing and they're like, and they put her in like all the slots. She's like, she's going. But then also, Gabby Douglas, she gets to go to the Olympics again.
Yes, and she got a Barbie doll just made after her, which is so exciting. And I just want to buy the whole collection of all the black Barbie dolls and just keep them in a box and save them for the children I won't have. I'll pass them to someone.
You can pass them to my babies.
But she made me nervous, Gabby.
Well, Gabby's great. She's not as great as Simone, but like she is phenomenal on the uneven bars.
Yes.
Like she is phenomenal on the uneven bars. She scared me with the falling off of the on the balance beam, but like everyone was falling off the balance beam. I was like, what the heck is happening? Like something on the, like, what, who put like a slick oil on the damn balance beam? Like, who was trying to make this more difficult?
Yeah. But I love Gabby. I feel like Gabby is the first like black girl in the Olympics that I was like, wait, my heart is attached to you now forever and always. So,
oh, I mean, I was an original 1996 Dominique Dawes.
And I was only five.
Yeah, you were a child. I was I was a smooth nine. And I lived for her. But it's just amazing. This is the most diverse gymnastics team as well, because we also have Hernandez. I can't think of her first name, but she is the first Latina gymnast to go in a couple of, since like 2000 or 2004, and she's amazing. And yeah, black brown girls representing hard.
For your America.
For your America, hard. And I, and like, I am standing only for indoor sports at the Olympics because of all of the craziness that's going on in Brazil. Whew. I'm not trying to, I don't want to, like, I'm recognizing that a lot of people are, like, bowing out from going. And the people that are, like, if you do anything, like, in, like, natural water...
No.
Oh, it's just too scary.
You might die.
Are literally talking about like feeling like parasites going into their face. They're like closing their eyes and their nose. Like, nah. Uh-uh. No. So like
I'm out.
My indoor girls stay inside. You know? And I'm just so happy for them. I'm going to be standing for gymnastics and swimming. Have those Olympic trials happened yet? Who's, do we know who's going to the Olympics?
I have no idea.
Did some brown people go? Because I know there's some black talent in swimming, which is like been a rarity for us.
Huge rarity.
So I hope that I don't know. I don't know. We'll go look it up, and if we find that there's some black people going, we'll put it up on Facebook.
I'm sure we'll tweet during the gymnastics portion of the Olympics.
Oh yes.
So if there's black people, wherever black people are, we'll be there. Mm-hmm.
Ready to support, ready to stand hard. But it was so good. And yeah, I think the opening ceremony starts on your birthday, right?
August 5th?
I think so.
Oh, mm-hmm. I probably won't be watching.
No, we won't be watching. We'll be getting too turnt, but I'll catch it on the YouTubes or something. Yeah.
We'll check back in with that. Maybe the 7th.
We'll be too hurt. So, yeah, that's another episode of Black Girls Laughing.
We did it.
Woo, woo, woo. We love all of you, and we are so happy for the show. If you enjoyed this episode or any other episode, please tell your friends. Please share your love of Black Girls Laughing, because that is what helps us. Also, you can go on iTunes and leave us a review.
That would be awesome.
We would love them. That actually is what helps people find our show.
Yes. Please leave a review. A couple people have started leaving comments more on SoundCloud, and that's awesome. But leave us a review. If you're like, wait, this is awesome, I find myself listening every time they drop a new episode, come on. Leave us a review. Even if it's just like A++, that works for me. Mm-hmm. If it works for you, it works for me.
Yep. And then also we have a survey running on our website. If you want to fill that out, that's great. That's blackgirlslaughing.com. There's a link to it right on our homepage.
You can find us other places on the internet, on Twitter at blackgirlslaughing, at BLK Girls Laughing with no G. That is for Twitter and Instagram. Mm-hmm. You can send us emails at blackgirlslaughing@gmail.com. And that's it.
That's the show.
Woo! Bye, guys.
Come on.